Chapter 4. What is a derivative? Derivatives are financial weapons of mass destruction carrying dangers that, while now latent, are potentially lethal. Warren Buffett. Derivatives are very complex financial products, but rather than providing a simplified definition, I will first present an overview and then describe these instruments in specific detail to help the reader gain a basic understanding of what is an extremely convoluted subject. Derivatives in simple terms. A derivative is a speculation between parties regarding how an asset will perform in the future. For example, I can speculate or bet that in 1 month's time, the price of oil will increase by $5 per barrel. You can bet against me. Other assets we can bet on include interest rates, exchange rates between different currencies, the price of wheat, the value of cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin, and mortgages. It is important to note that there is something of value, an asset, about which we are betting. The purpose of the asset is to make the bet secure. To understand how complicated derivatives can become, I have created four terms to describe their possible progression: original derivatives, OD, secondary derivatives, SD, messy derivatives, MD, and very messy derivatives, VMD. Original derivative definition. The original derivative contract or speculation on an asset or assets. Secondary derivative definition. We place 10 original dividends or derivatives for interest rates into a bowl. Then we stir the ODs to mix all the interest rates values together as if mixing cake batter. Next, we divide the value into 12 or more parts and sell off each piece to various investment agencies at wholesale prices. These investment agencies sell each piece to individual or group investors like your 401k, pension funds, and mutual funds. Messy derivative definition. Grab several original derivatives with a combination of different underlying assets and put them in a pot. Let's say we use one oil original derivative, three wheat ODs, two foreign currency ODs, the interest rate secondary derivative mentioned above, and 13 mortgages. We mix all these contracts up and then divide the mixture 50 ways and sell off each piece. Very messy derivative definition. This is the result of the repeated combining, splitting, and selling of secondary derivatives and messy derivatives all over the world. Pension funds, 401ks, mutual funds have all likely purchased derivatives as part of their investment. Derivatives of financial definition. A derivative is a financial contract, like the ODs and SD examples listed above, in which the value is derived from the performance of underlying market factors, such as interest rates, currency exchange rates, and stock price. A derivative contract can contain futures, options, debt obligations, deposits, and/or varying combinations of other security contracts. The derivative's value fluctuates based upon the underlying asset fluctuating value. Derivatives can also get their value from an asset purchase in which the agreement between a buyer and seller predicts how much the asset price will change within a specified time period. This underlying asset of the derivative contract can be oil, gold, agriculture, energy products, stocks, bonds, or currencies, including the U.S. dollar. For example, if oil currently trades at $48 per barrel, a contract could be created to predict that 2 days from now, oil will trade at $50 per barrel. The buyer can either purchase the option to agree that the price will increase to $50 per barrel or the option to disagree. At the end of 2 days, if the price of oil is any amount less than $50 per barrel, the person who initially agreed that the price would go up to $50 has to pay the price difference to the person who disagreed. If the price of oil is more than $50 per barrel, say $55, then the person who agreed that the price would increase gets paid $5 by the person who disagreed. The above is a very simplistic example to illustrate how the derivative contract might work. There are a variety of derivative contracts that contain varying terms. The buyer enters a contract by disagreeing with the seller, which means there will always be a winner and a loser in these transactions. If the price does increase to $50 per barrel, then they both may win, but the amount will be less for both parties. However, the one who wrote the contract, the seller, will generally receive a commission for the contract regardless if the contract wins, loses, or breaks even. Another example is a derivative based on bond interest rates. A contract could predict that a bond's current interest rate will remain at the stated price when the bond comes to maturity, or that the interest rate will adjust up or down. A buyer could predict that the interest rate will remain constant, decrease by a specific amount, or increase by a specific amount. If the buyer predicts that the interest rate will decrease at the time of bond maturity and the bond price does not decrease but remains constant, then the buyer owes the difference between the initial rate and the predicted decrease rate to the seller. The same holds true if the buyer predicts an interest rate increase and it stays constant. Here again, the buyer would owe the difference to the seller. Banks make a lot of money on derivative contracts. In the third quarter of 2018 alone, American banks made $7.1 billion in trading revenue compared to $6.4 billion in the third quarter of 2016. On the surface, these profits make derivative contracts seem like they are worth the risk. While the Dodd-Frank law attempts to regulate derivative contracts, oversight is difficult because these contracts are very complex, often including multiple and various underlying assets. The complexity of the contracts makes it difficult to determine the actual risk associated with each derivative product. It's kind of like pulling apart an already mixed cake batter and trying to determine what part is flour, what part is salt, what part is sugar, what part is eggs, and what part is milk. Banks are allowed by law to balance their exposure to risk by balancing their derivative assets against their liabilities. In other words, banks are allowed to focus on the worth of the products rather than the costs associated with them. The problem with this approach is that derivatives are already a form of debt. Standard accounting procedures allow derivatives to be classified as assets if the fair value of derivative returns is deemed positive and there is an accounting policy in place within that contract. A layman's comparison would be a house with a mortgage. The house is considered an asset, but it's not really an asset because of the mortgage or liability attached to it. Unless the home is owned free of a mortgage, it is a debt. We saw this firsthand during 2008 financial crisis. Many people lost their homes. Homeowners thought they were holding an asset, but it did not take long for them to realize that their homes were actually liabilities or debt. In fact, subprime mortgage-backed securities are partially to blame for causing the 2008 financial crisis. These securities were a kind of derivative that was heavily invested in by individuals and entities around the world prior to the 2008 crisis. Berkshire Hathaway CEO Warren Buffett, the third richest man in the world whose net worth is $83.4 billion, said this about derivatives. With derivatives, you're exposed to counterparties and thus relying on others. These claims build up over time to the tune of billions of dollars, and when one falls, the whole system falls. Derivatives are not evil by themselves, but rather, everyone needs to be able to handle them. System-wide, they are rat poison. As of June 2019, American banks hold an estimated $204.9 trillion in derivative contracts. This represents a $15 trillion increase from second quarter of 2016. Outstanding derivative contracts worldwide currently stand at $595 trillion, up from $483 trillion in 2016. The exposure the banks have in relation to derivative contracts puts the entire global banking system at risk of failing. If the banks fail, the American economy, as well as the economies in many other countries worldwide, will go into chaos. These bank failures will cause a cascade effect in various other segments of our economies. This is what the Lord showed me will happen, all because of banks' irresponsible trading practices in derivative contracts.